Monday marked the centennial of the lynching of Leo Frank in Marietta. Frank, a Jewish businessman, was found guilty of murdering 13-year-old employee Mary Fagan in the summer of 1913. Georgia's governor at that time, John Slayton, commuted Frank's death sentence to life in prison just days before Slayton's term ended. But a couple of months after this ruling, 25 men removed Frank from the state penitentiary in Milledgeville and drove him to Marietta, where he was lynched. Today, City Lights film commentator Matthew Bernstein takes us on a tour through the turmoil of Frank's trial as told through film.
The Frank case was a blot on Georgia's history and reputation, a traumatic event for Atlanta, Georgia, and the nation, even though the South witnessed thousands of lynchings of African Americans across the decades. Many books have studied the Frank case, most recently and comprehensively, Steve Oney's magisterial page-turner and The Dead Shall Rise. The Museum of the South and Kennesaw State University's Museum of History and Holocaust Education have teamed up this fall to host a series of talks and exhibitions that focus on the Frank case. There have also been some fascinating films and TV shows made about the case from the 1930s to the present day, and no wonder. The story is mysterious and dramatic. It's like a murder mystery, a detective film, a tale of cynical and sensational journalism, courtroom drama, mob violence, and an extraordinarily noble politician in Governor John M. Slayton. All of these versions leave something out. No one of them can tell the story completely. But all of them do a compelling job, backed by in-depth research. The earliest surviving film about the Frank case was made by the independent black director Oscar Michaud. His 1935 murder in Harlem changes the names and locations. The protagonist is a black attorney who defends a night guard suspected of the murder. Michaud lived in Atlanta during the trial and knew the case thoroughly, so much so that he staged specific scenes and speeches in his film from the trial.
We got to scuffling and she got her fingers in my face and eyes, and I had to hit her to make her turn loose. I don't know how hard I hit her, but she fell down and hit herself against something and got hurt.
Yet Michaud left out Frank's Jewish identity, the sectionalism that informed the case, and even Frank's lynching. Intriguingly, for much of its running time, Murder in Harlem suggests that Frank was guilty before providing an entirely fictional solution to the story. Still, it's worth a look, but be warned that Michaud worked with shoestring budgets and could not match the polish of a Hollywood film. That polish is on full display in 1937's They Won't Forget, Warner Brothers' adaptation of Atlanta reporter Ward Greene's novelization of the case, Death in the Deep South. Once again in the 1930s, the filmmakers were timid about identifying Frank as Jewish. Instead, sectionalism, prejudice, and yellow journalism railroad a man to his death. Though contrived in parts, it is powerful, especially in its courtroom drama and its very imaginative and indirect depiction of Frank's lynching. Like Michaud's Murder in Harlem, They Won't Forget was banned from Atlanta screens by our local film censor. In the 1960s, the Leo Frank case moved to TV, where the focus shifted to the actions of Governor John M. Slayton. Slayton, who gave up a promising shot at the U.S. Senate when he commuted Frank's sentence, did not appear in JFK's book, but his literary executor, speechwriter, and special counsel, Theodore C. Sorensen, told the series producers Slayton would have merited a chapter in Kennedy's book had he known Slayton's story.
What I propose to do now may cause me the loss of my law practice. It will cause me the loss of my reputation. I have been told that it may cost me my life.
No, you must do whatever you think is right. I wouldn't stop you if I could. I'd rather be the widow of a brave man than the wife of a coward.
It is ordered that the sentence of Leo Frank is commuted from the death penalty to imprisonment for life. This 21st day of June, 1915, John M. Slayton, Governor.
But the show is an example of intelligent, highly theatrical television in the era before PBS.
Every man proved to be engaged in the lynching should be treated as a murderer. Any man who approves the lynching is no true Georgian and should be driven from the state, as should any newspaper which condones this utter disgrace to civilization.
Governor, when you commuted Frank's sentence, you said you were saving Georgia from a stain that could never be eradicated. You still feel that way?
I most certainly do.
Well, isn't Frank just as dead? Wasn't his death even more horrible?
I am ashamed. Every true Georgian must be deeply ashamed that this lynching did take place. But his execution by the state would have been something far more shameful.
You'll have to make it plainer than that.
Very well. Brutal as these words may sound, for Frank to have been hanged by the state of Georgia would have been worse than that he was lynched by a mob. Lynching strikes at the body of civilization. Execution without proper cause strikes at the soul. That plain enough?
The biggest budgeted treatment of the case came in the 1988 two-part miniseries, The Murder of Mary Fagan. This very realistic-looking program was shot on location in downtown Richmond, Virginia, with a cast featuring Jack Lemmon as John M. Slayton.
It's been my lifelong dream to serve the people of Georgia in the United States Senate. That is a dream I will not see unfold. I can do many things in my life. I can plow. I can hoe, and I can live in obscurity. But I cannot abide the companionship of an accusing conscience.
And Peter Gallagher is Leo Frank.
I could fill the volumes with what my heart and soul beg to save. Volumes on sadness, love, justice, and the fallibility of reason. But for now, I must tell you that there has not been one word of truth spoken about me in this court by the prosecution's witnesses, not one iota of truth. I had nothing to do with the death of Mary Fagan, except for her killer. I believe I was the last to see her alive. I put her pay of $1.20 in her hand and I sent her off to a world where something like this could happen to her and to me. And still I miss that world. I miss my life and I want it back. Some newspaper men have called me the silent man in the tower. And I have kept my silence advisedly, believing under the American system of justice there would be a time and a place for me to speak. This is the time. This is the place. I've told you the truth. The whole truth. So help me God.
Finally, in 2009, director Ben Loderman produced an 85-minute PBS documentary, The People vs. Leo Frank, that drew upon new revelations in Steve Oney's book, And the Dead Shall Rise. It is narrated by a never-before-discussed person in the case, William Smith, the lawyer who defended Conley in the original trial against Frank, but came to believe afterwards that Conley was the murderer. I studied all of these films, except the 2009 Loderman documentary, in my book, Screening a Lynching, The Leo Frank Case on Film and TV. In a time when Hollywood is constantly accused of falsifying history, I was struck by how historically accurate and well-researched each film and TV show was. Each of them offers a new interpretation of a story whose full dimensions we will never know.